How's everyone doing this morning? Good, good. Everyone excited to be at church? Well, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Allison. I'm the youth pastor here at Niagara Worship Center. I'm very excited because while Pastor Tim is away this weekend, I get to come and speak in front of you guys. And if you weren't here the last time I spoke, I told you guys that I actually get really nervous doing this, so I'm like slightly anxious and slightly excited because I know that God's put something on my heart and I know that he's wanting to speak to you guys, so I am very excited to be here, but I get a little jittery, so everyone bear with me, okay? Before I start into my message, I just wanted to talk really briefly about Hannah House and the ministry opportunity that we are giving you guys. If you haven't seen out in the foyer, there is a table there about a baby shower that we're hosting for Hannah House. This is something that, as a youth ministry, we really wanted to get involved in our community. We wanted to find new ways to reach out and just connect with other people that are already working in our community in a way that we can impact people's lives. So this was something that we thought of, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to hold a baby shower to benefit the ministry of Hannah House and to bless them with some of the stuff that they have and some of the needs that they're having and just meet some of those needs. And as well, it's a fun opportunity for our church to gather and do something different, to fellowship together, to have a good time. It's also being put on by our young adults and youth, so if you haven't had a chance to meet some of the young adults or if you haven't had a chance to meet me, this is an opportunity where you guys could come hang out and just have a good time. There's going to be food, there's going to be prizes, there's lots going on, and so I would encourage you, if you haven't already signed up for that next Saturday, to go there after the service. There's going to be some young adults there that you can just sign up with, or if you're not able to come, to just grab one of the cards, because it does have the information about it, and if you can't come, maybe to bring a gift for that. So that's my little speech. I wanted to take the opportunity because it's something that's really dear to my heart, and so I just wanted to help paint a picture of why we're doing this, that it's not just something we just put on just for the sake of putting on. Now I'm going to pull up my notes because I'm going to get jittery very soon. I have a question for you. It's playoff season. Does anyone here like sports? Not very many. I don't know. It is playoff season. Is anyone's team still in the playoffs? Oh, a couple. Okay. Yeah. I'm not really into sports. My husband's really into sports, but his teams, I think, are out of the playoffs. I haven't heard him talk about them for a little bit, so it's a little sad for him. I think he's a little down. But anyone growing up, did they ever want to be an NHL player, NBA player, tennis player? Maybe you wanted to be the next Michael Phelps. I don't know. Anybody have like an athlete or a sport that you were like, when I grow up, I'm going to play in the NHL? And I think a lot of kids dream about that. Like, I know, like, I talk to kids and they're like, yeah, I'm gonna be in the NHL. I'm like, okay, well, keep dreaming. It's very rare, but it does happen to that odd person, and it's very exciting for them. Did anyone here become a famous athlete? All right, is anyone still dreaming that maybe one day soon they could make it to the NHL, make it to the NBA? I don't know, maybe. All right, well, those people that make it to those sports, they don't get there simply by waking up and saying, okay, you know what, today I'm going to go apply to the NBA. I'm going to tell them I'm going to take over for LeBron James. You can just tell him that he can take a step aside because I'm taking over. I don't think that's how they get there. They don't simply walk in with an application in their hand and say, I'm amazing, hire me. No, instead, those athletes have all gotten there by daily choosing to put work in. They start at such a young age and they say, no, even when I'm tired, I'm going to work towards this. Even when I'm exhausted, even when I'm not feeling like it, even when my home life is super crazy, or even when, you go to bed way too late and the alarms are way too early, it's that daily effort constantly putting in, and they stay there because of that daily process, that journey that they're on where every day, day in, day out, they're going to keep working towards it. So I was thinking about that idea of just this daily effort and how it's a journey, it's a process that we go through, and how that translates into our faith and into our walk with God. How, as Christians, our desire is to eventually say, like in 2 Timothy 4:7 says, that I've fought the good fight and I've finished the race and I've kept the faith. We all hope one day that when we get before Jesus, we're going to say, yeah, I've kept the faith. I've fought the good fight, Jesus. But it's not something we get to simply by saying, well, I hope one day I get there. It's that daily effort of saying today, even though maybe I don't feel like it, even though my life circumstances are kind of crazy, I'm going to keep trusting God. And today, even though everything's going crazy and I don't see God in the middle of my circumstances, today I'm going to praise Him and today I'm going to worship Him even though I don't feel like it. There's an old song that, it's not that old, but when I was in youth, I would listen to this song on the radio and it would say, I will praise you in this storm. And it's this idea that even in the middle of your chaos, you're going to take the moment and you're still going to say, but God, I praise you and I worship you. When I was thinking about that trusting in God and that constant saying, no, day in, day out, trust God, trust God, there's one person in the Bible that really, really stood out to me. His name's David. I don't know if anyone's heard of David from the Bible this morning, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about him. See, when I see David and I look at his story from when you first hear about him to the very end of his story, I just see a man who trusts God despite all of his circumstances and despite all the challenges in life he faces, and he always comes back to this place of worshiping God. But it didn't mean that he never doubted, and it didn't mean that he never questioned God. It just meant that he always came back to saying, God, I trust you. And he writes psalm after psalm, you see, where he says, God, I trust you. In Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. David trusts God to provide for him. In Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And in Psalm 56, 3, it says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And David trusted God in all of his life circumstances, but it wasn't always easy for him. I think sometimes we kind of put this pressure on ourselves, or I know I do. I'm like, man, if I trust God, it means I'm never going to question what he's doing in my life. Or if I trust God, I'm never going to have my doubts because I trust God. But like, I want everyone to just take a breath in today. Everyone do it. Breathe out. Just relax. It's okay. I've had my doubts. It happens. We ask questions. And I want you guys to just realize that maybe it's not about this perfection of never, ever questioning or never doubting, but knowing that when in the end you're going to come back to saying, God, I will trust you, even though I don't understand. So that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about today. So let's get back to David's story. So David first gets introduced in 1 Samuel 16. He's just a young boy. There is a king of Israel. Ooh. Hello. There is a king of Israel, his name's Saul, and he's hardened his heart towards God, and he's turning away from God, and he's not following God anymore. So God says to this man named Samuel, who's a prophet, Samuel, I want you to go and anoint a new king. So Samuel goes out to this place where God told him to go, to a man's house named Jesse. When he gets to Jesse's house, he asks to see all of his sons, and Jesse introduces his sons, and at the end, Samuel's like, is that all of your sons? Because none of these are the person that God's told me to anoint. And Jesse says, well, actually, I have another son. His name's David. He's out tending the sheep, though. He's really young, and he wouldn't really make a good king. Or at least that's what he thinks. He might have not said that. That's not quite in the Bible. That's a little paraphrased. But he kind of kept him hidden off, like almost like, yeah, he's not going to be a good king. Let's just hide him. And so Samuel says, actually, go get him. So David comes and Samuel anoints David to be the next king of Israel. Now there's a slight problem with this. The current king is still in reign, so there's a waiting period in David's life, but the current king, he's getting tormented by the Spirit because he's turned his back on God. So he's being tormented by the Spirit, so he wants a musician to come play for him, to calm his spirit for him. So he hires David, and David comes, and he's in the king's palace, so you'd think, oh, he's one step closer to being king. And so he comes, and he plays music for Saul, and Saul enjoys it, and it calms his spirit for a while. Then the next famous story of David that I'm sure almost everyone, or probably everyone in this room has heard, is when David kills Goliath. And isn't that a story about how David trusts God? He goes out into battle, and he's not even trained. He's not even supposed to be in the army. He's just there delivering some lunch to his brothers. He's just checking on them, and he gets there. He sees that this giant is mocking God's people, and he says, this is crazy. God's told us that we're going to win this fight, and this is the Lord's fight, so I'm going to trust him. He goes out completely untrained in any army, and he goes out, and he brings 5 stones in a sling, and he kills Goliath. And he becomes this famous war hero and just loved by the people of Israel. Everyone loves him. He's that person that won the battle against Goliath. And he waits a few more years and then he becomes the next king of Israel. Isn't that an awesome story? Doesn't David have an amazing story where he just trusts God? He says, yes, God, your timing, you made me king. You said I'm going to be king. I'll just wait for your timing. And he gets out there and he fights Goliath. He says, God, I'm just going to trust you. And doesn't it almost come across as unrelatable? You're like, well, David, that's you. You're in the Bible. God kind of showed up a little more in the Bible. My life, I forget that's there. But my life isn't like that. My life has more problems, more challenges. You know, that's good for you that you can trust God like that. But for me, it's a little bit more difficult, and it becomes easy to think that, oh, the people in the Bible really felt God and knew God was right there. But maybe in our life, maybe he's not as close, or maybe he just, I don't know, isn't as involved, or it becomes easy to say, well, that's good for you, but in my life. And I was in that place, and I don't know if anyone here can relate to this, but sometimes I find it really hard to trust God. And sometimes I find it really hard, especially when my life circumstances are not going well or when something's gone wrong and I just don't seem to see God in the middle of it. And I don't know that maybe it's only me in this room, but sometimes I'll tend to ask, God, are you really good? I know Pastor Tim talked about how good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. I know he preached those messages, but in my circumstances, God, are you really good? Can I really trust you with my life? Can I really trust that you're with me and that you hear my prayers? Do you really work all things for the good of those who love you? Because right now, I don't see it. And that's the way I can feel sometimes when my life circumstances just show up and you don't seem to see God at work. So I want to share a little bit of my life and my story. And I want you guys to get to know me a bit more and what I've gone through and how I've learned about this process of just trusting God every day. So a little background on me. I grew up in a Christian family. My parents started attending church when I was very young. I think like my first year of my life, my parents like were not Christian and they decided we want our kids to have good morals, so they started attending church. And I just grew up believing in God. I never really questioned or doubted. For me, God just made sense. I felt him when I was at church and I knew that if I prayed, God would answer. I never doubted that God was real and I never doubted that he answered prayer. I simply just trusted him. Until about a few years ago. I was in my second year of Bible college, and I received news that my 17-year-old neighbor, he had been walking on the side of the road and was hit by a car. And when he was hit, the car drove off and left him on the side of the road. And he was in an emergency transfer to a hospital in Toronto, and I didn't know anything else. I just knew that he needed prayer. So I was there at school, and we're at a Bible college, lots of Christian friends, all about to be pastors, and I gathered some friends together, and I said, we need to pray for him. And I prayed so hard. I prayed with tears. I prayed with expectation, just trusting that God was going to work it out, that God was going to heal him. I went to bed that night trusting that Nathan was going to be okay. The next morning, my dad contacted me and let me know that Nathan had passed away. I couldn't believe it. I prayed. I prayed that God would heal him. And I trusted God, but Nathan had died. And I was so angry. I could not understand, why would God not heal him? Why would God not save this young boy? As far as I knew, Nathan didn't have any relationship with God. He wasn't an on fire for Christian, and he wasn't passionate about his relationship with God. And I couldn't understand why God would allow him to die if he didn't know him. And if the Bible says that all things work together for the good, well, then where was the good from this situation? And I was so angry, and I decided that if that's who God is, if I couldn't really trust him, then I didn't want to talk to him. So I didn't. For 2 months, while I was at Bible college, I refused to talk to God. Which, let me tell you, is very hard to do when you go to a Bible college, because all your professors pray to start class, you have mandatory chapels, all your friends want to tell you about what God's doing in their life. And I think that sometimes that's how it feels when you come into church and you're going through a situation or something where you're really struggling, and you get there and you get to hear, we get up here, we say, God, we're going to sing because you are good, dance because you are good. And people are giving testimonies how God's provided, how God's answered prayer. And you're sitting there saying, well, good for you, but God's not showing up in my life. And it hurts more than anything, and you get more angry, and you're here, and you're like, but God, that's who you are, then why aren't you this for me? It's really hard to be in that environment where people are telling you how good God is when you don't feel like God's being good. So there I was at Bible college, having to go to all these mandatory chapels, having to go to classes where I learned about God. And because I was a Bible college student, I had a Bible. It would sit on my desk. And I'd sit in my room and I'd look at it. And I'd turn away for 2 months. Finally, I was getting so frustrated. I was so angry. And I'd become more and more angry. So I picked up my Bible one day. And I said, well, God, here I am. Where are you? Okay, I'm looking for you. I'm flipping through, just angry. I said, God, if you want to speak to me, okay, go for it. Tell me why. While I was flipping through, I came across Psalm 13. So if you have your Bibles, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 13. It is a psalm that's written by David, and it's the same David that killed Goliath, trusted God to work out all his timing, trusted God to win his battles. It's the same David that wrote Psalm 23 saying how good God is and how God will provide for us. Is anybody there? If you're there, put your Bible in the air and wave it like you just don't care. Say, ayo, ayo. It's a little tense in here. I feel like we need a good laugh. Psalm 13, the first four verses. Says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me, and how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, God, and answer, Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Does that sound like David, who went out and won the battle against Goliath, whining and saying, how long, God? You gonna forget me forever? Are you there? Do you hear me? When I came across this, I felt like saying this, yes, David gets me. How long, God? Are you going to forget me forever? I need you to tell me why this happened. I can't move on because I do not understand. You ever felt like that? Ever felt like God's forgotten you in your darkest night? Ever felt like your enemy or your circumstances continue to keep triumphing over you, and you are wondering if God is ever going to step in and answer your cry for help? And as I read these verses, it caught my attention because I related so well with how David was feeling. Thing is, with David, he didn't stop there. David continues with a very important word at the beginning of verse 5. Can anyone tell me what that word is? But. And as soon as I read that word, just those three letters, I knew David was about to drop some profound truth here that I was not ready to hear because I wanted to stay angry. But let's read what he wrote. He says in verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, God, and answer. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." In verse 5, But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David's crying out to God, saying, God, where are you? Do you hear me? Do you care that my enemies are triumphing over me? And in the middle of his despair and in the middle of his challenges and his life circumstances, he says, but God, I will trust you and I will praise you. Why? In the end of verse 6, it says, for he has been good to me. And as I read this, I couldn't believe it because I knew David's story. I left a small part out of it for you because I wanted you guys to kind of get in that mindset. Sometimes it's easy to think that for the Bible characters, it's easy for them. I tried to research when this psalm was written in David's life, and there's no information on it. I have a personal theory, so this has no theological backing, but knowing David's story, I kind of put this in here. I think that he wrote it after he had killed Goliath. He became very famous. Everyone loved him, except for Saul, the current king. Saul became very jealous of David's attention, and he tried to kill David. And David would run away. Saul tried to kill David again, and David would run away again. And this happened for 7 chapters. And I think David was saying, God, you told me I was going to be king. You anointed me. I didn't ask for this life, and yet here I am. I'm about to die. My enemy keeps coming at me, and I'm going to die. Where are you? And as I read this, I was thinking that this is where David's at in his life. And I truly thought, David, how can you say God's been good to you? You're hiding for your life. You were told you were going to be king, and years later you're not. And now you're being hunted, and you're probably going to die. Wow. Isn't God good to you, David? But it amazed me because as I read this, his circumstances didn't change. Nothing changed in his life here. He said, where are you, God? My enemies are triumphing. And in the middle of that said, but I will praise you and I will trust you. And as I sat there hurting and wanting to be mad at God, wanting to think that he's this evil person that wasn't good, and I thought about the story of the Bible, the entire thing, right from beginning to end. How God created us and how he wanted to be in relationship with us. He created us so we could experience the beauty of that relationship. How he took care of his people, how he delivered them from Egypt, how he delivered them from slavery over and over again, how God provided for them with manna, how he led them through the wilderness with a pillar of fire, how God was always there for his people. And then how he sent Jesus to come and be God in flesh. And how he healed people and how he loved the unlovable. How he died for our sins and then rose again so that we could have a new life in Christ. And how God had been so good to me. And how I had experienced him over and over and over again in my life from a young child. I knew God. I knew who God was. I had experienced him. And it's easy to say, oh, God, I don't believe you or I don't want you in my life, but when you've experienced the presence of God, it's hard to walk away from that because you know God, and David knew the character of God. And as much as my circumstances were difficult or painful at this moment in life, that those did not change who God was. See, God's constant. He doesn't change. We sang that in a song this morning, that God's constant. And he was either a good God or everything that I had known about him up until this point had been a lie. I had to make that decision. And I sat there thinking, I was like, am I really going to trust God again? I'm hurting, though. Am I going to trust him when I don't understand? Or am I just going to walk away from all of this? And that day, I made a decision sitting there in my dorm room with my Bible in front of me. And it went something like this. But I will trust in your unfailing love, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. My circumstances didn't change. I didn't really understand. And David's circumstances didn't change. But in the middle of your hurting and in the middle of your pain, saying, God, I'm still going to trust you, even though I do not understand. It's not an easy decision to make, especially when things aren't going well in your life. But I think that's really where having faith comes in. Because faith is seeing or believing without seeing. And even though you don't see God at work in your life, even though you don't see, as Romans 8:28 says, that God is working all things for the good of those who love him, even though you don't see him in the middle of your circumstances, it's faith that God is good. Faith that God is here with you. And I'll be honest, I don't know why Nathan died. And I don't know why God didn't heal him. I wish I had some profound answer. I wish I was like, man, God gave me this revelation and this is what happened. Because that's what we want. We want to understand why. I don't have that answer. All I know is that we live in a broken world and that one day, God's going to return. He's going to come and he's going to restore everything. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more hurting. There's not going to be any more pain. Because God's good. And until that day, I'm just trusting him. Having faith that even in brokenness, that he is good and I'm going to praise him. But it's that daily decision. It's a daily decision saying, today, in this moment, in these circumstances, I'm going to trust you. And it doesn't mean that there won't be times where you have doubts or questions or moments where it's hard. Trust me, I've had them. David had them. Other people in this room have had them. And I can't say that ever since I made that decision that day, that I've never questioned or faltered since I made that commitment, because there's been many other moments in my life where I just don't see God in the middle of my circumstances. But the decision I made that day was that despite my circumstances, that I would come back to saying, but I will praise you, but I will trust you. And I think that's why I love Psalm 13 so much, is that David's circumstances didn't change. He simply, in the middle of everything, said, I'm going to trust you. Some people here today, you might think, well, I'm actually in a really good place. Things are going really well for me. And you might feel, for those who are feeling the same as Psalm 13, but for you, you're saying, well, I'm really experiencing the goodness of God right now. And that is so exciting, because God's good, and we get to experience his goodness, and we get to rejoice in those moments. Well, actually, when I look at David's life, it's when things are going really well and when he becomes king and everything's kind of fallen into place that he actually loses focus on God. He served God so well his entire life. He becomes king, things are going well for him, and he ends up committing adultery and committing murder. So I take that as a warning that when things are going really well, to not lose focus on God. Don't get so caught up in the goodness that you're like, end up forgetting about God, but rejoice in him, praise him, trust him, even in the moments of goodness, even in the moments of provision, to continue trusting him. Some of you might not even believe that God's real. Maybe you're not even sure about this whole God thing. And you're like, how can I trust someone I don't even know is here? God's here today. Now he's calling you by name. He literally knows you by name. He literally knows your face. He knows every hair on your head. He's calling out to you today and saying, trust me. Just trust me. You can start that process. You can start that journey today of trusting God. It doesn't have to be that you're 10 years into this process. Like I said, it's a process. So it starts daily saying, God, today I trust you. And if you find your place in Psalm 13, if you find yourself feeling like David felt in Psalm 13, where you're crying out to God and you're saying, God, I don't see you. God, where are you? How long are you going to ignore me? Trust him. God hasn't forgotten you. He sees you. He hears your prayers. He knows what you're going through. He's with you. But in all of your circumstances, no matter where you find yourself, praise God, for he's been good to you. It's that daily process saying, God, today I'm going to put in the effort, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't see you, God, today I trust you, and I'm going to continue to keep choosing to trust you. I'm going to invite everyone to stand. I want to pray over you guys today. I feel like it's a little early, but hey, I'm short and sweet, so that's how I feel. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you that you're here with us. God, I thank you that when we cry out to you, you answer us, God. God, that you are there. God, I pray for those who are just crying out, saying, God, I don't see you. God, I'm hurting and I want an answer, God. I don't know why. God, will you just let them feel your presence here? God, will you just speak to their hearts? God, would you awaken their spirits to know, God, that you are here? And God, strengthen them as they just continue to trust in you. God, for those who are here and they say, God, I just feel your presence. I feel your goodness everywhere in my life right now. God, thank you. God, thank you that your goodness is real and that we get to experience it. God, thank you that you answer prayers, God. God, would you help us to keep our focus on you even when things are going well, God, that we wouldn't look to the left or to the right, God, that we would just focus our thoughts on you, God, that we would continue to fight the good fight, God, that we would keep the faith, Lord. God, for those of us, all of us, God, for all of us, God, would you just help us to choose to trust you, God? God, for those who don't know you yet, God, would you awaken our hearts, God, that we could put our trust in you today, God. God, thank you that you're here. God, thank you that you know us. Thank you that you know our names and our faces, God. God, would you just come into our lives, God? Would you awaken our spirits, God, and connect us with your spirit, Lord? God, I just pray that we would have an amazing rest of the day, that we would have an amazing rest of the long weekend. God, thank you for rest. Thank you for days off. God, thank you for vacations. And God, help us to have an amazing day. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have an amazing weekend.